So can you talk a little bit about where you see some of the biggest needs in the disease and what some of the new strategies and agents are that you see coming along that hopefully will improve these outcomes?
So there's been a luxury of riches lately for acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and that's really an exciting time that we're entering. So chemotherapeutic options, that is new drugs, is really not where the disease is moving. Where the disease is moving is trying to understand more of the biology. I mentioned the Philadelphia-like, understanding who's responding, who's not responding. So we measure response now by detecting whether or not there's a one cancer cell out of 10 to the fourth, which is 10,000, or 0.01%. So this is minimal residual disease. And we're able to stratify patients who are MRD positive or negative into getting, should they get a transplant, should they not get a transplant. Those changes are huge in terms of really defining how patients go, because you can not transplant a patient who's going to do well, but only transplant those who are going to do well. In terms of newer agents, there's a lot of monoclonal antibodies that are being developed. Blinatumomab is a very ingenious molecule that has, on the one business end, the ability to stick to the tumor cell, CD19, which is expressed almost on all B lymphoblastic leukemia cells, and on the other business end of the molecule, CD3 receptor that can stick on your own T cells, the patient's own T cells. And in so doing, once the length of the linker, not too long, not too short, kind of the Goldilocks phenomenon, was able to stimulate and activate the patient's own immune system, this has been really profound at being able to get patients into remission. And so this led to FDA approval a couple years ago, and then full approval just last month in relapse refractory patients. And so you asked the question is, what's the future? Well, if you have a drug that works in the relapse refractory setting, moving it up front is really the obvious need. But then there's other monoclonal antibodies. So that's one. That's blinatumomab. Inotuzumab is another agent, more of a traditional antibody drug conjugate, this time against CD22. And so these are two agents that are approved in the relapse refractory setting that are likely to be moved up front, or at least tested up front in earlier settings.
Can you talk a little bit more about inotuzumab and what the clinical research data is right now supporting that agent?
So inotuzumab has been tested, as I mentioned, in the relapse refractory setting, phase one, phase two studies, showing that you're able to safely administer it. The nice thing about inotuzumab, it can be administered as an outpatient. It's a simple two-hour infusion in the clinic. And then what was demonstrated was really exorbitantly high remission rates and very high ability to get patients into what we call an MRD, that is minimal residual disease negative status. And then there was a randomized trial comparing inotuzumab to standard chemotherapy, which showed marked improvement in terms of remission rate in favor of inotuzumab, MRD negative status in favor of inotuzumab, and both event-free and overall survival benefit. So the European authorities have already approved it in Europe. We're waiting for the FDA to adjudicate whether it gets approved in the United States. But apropos of your point before, not only would this be used in the relapse refractory setting, but once it gets approved, there needs to be testing clinical trials to see if we can move it up front.
What toxicities are seen with this agent?
So like with any monoclonal antibody allergic reactions, this particular agent is the antibody component is pretty well tolerated. Allergic reactions are minimal. The calicheamycin, which is the chemotherapeutic that's conjugated to it, can cause some hepatotoxicity as well as low platelets, so delayed recovery in platelets. You don't wait for the platelet count to normalize. You got to reassess the patient and do it early. And then patients who move on to transplant, it can be a little bit complicated with the occurrence of something called veno-occlusive disease, which is a really serious liver problem. Early recognition and changing the type of transplant conditioning regimen is going to be very important. You know, we at our institution have done this for a while and have taken patients through that without a problem. But this is where coordination between the community oncologist who's caring for the patient and the transplant or tertiary referral facility is going to be essential.
So with brentuximab vedotin, the antibody drug conjugate right now that's used in hematologic cancers, you see peripheral neuropathy.
Right.
Do you see that with inotuzumab?
You don't. It's really limited to hepatic and thrombocytopenia and then veno-occlusive disease during transplants. Very rare to see it, although there have been reports. It's very rare to see single-agent inotuzumab causing veno-occlusive disease. It's more often after transplant.